So how does Scripture resolve Christian and church conflicts? Amen. And you'll understand why when we read the text verse. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Amen. This is what we covered last week, and I'm excited that we have had a chance to do so. Acts 20. By the way, how many are glad we off of the discipleship?
Amen.
Amen. Discipleship is tough. And I'm glad that we're done with the discipleship too. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. And let's start reading in verse number 28. Read along with me. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Amen. So after finishing Paul's warning here to the elders at Ephesus, we're about to go into the commendation. Notice what he says in verse number 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. He says, basically, I'm going to commit you to the Lord and his care and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So Paul pretty much is saying, I'm leaving and I'm going to leave you in the Lord's hands. You've got to go and fend for yourselves with the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen. So with that said, before we go into that, I want to take a look into conflicts that can damage the ministry, because obviously Paul said this is going to happen. You're going to have this type of a conflict in your ministry. How can we resolve those conflicts? And that's what I want to look at tonight and probably over the next Sunday or Wednesday night. Father, bless now in our time together. Lord, help our hearts to be open, our ears to be open. But Lord, most of all, attentive. Paul was speaking under the inspiration of God, saying, I know this is going to happen. Lord, we know it will happen as well. But Lord, we want to be able to resolve these things when they do happen. So speak to us, and Lord, speak through the Spirit of God. Help us to, Lord, understand tonight and glean a blessing that, Lord, when these things come, we'll know how to earnestly contend for the faith. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless now in the evening service, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So the good part is going to come down there in verse number 32 when he says, I'm commending you to the Holy Spirit. But we see conflicts are expressly talked about here in verses 29 and 30. It's going to happen, Paul said, so I want you to be careful and watch out. But let's define this idea of conflict first. If you were to describe conflict, what would you say? Define conflict for me, Faith. But trying to get your way, amen. That's good, amen. Conflict. Well, how would you define conflict? Faith says trying to get your way. Disagreement, amen. Jerry? Fighting, amen. Athena? A choice between separate ways. Gregory? Friction, amen. Rub against something long enough, it's going to catch fire, amen. Yes, G or Josh? Arguing and fighting, amen. Some other definitions. If you had to describe conflict, what would you say? Troublesome moments. By the way, do we have conflicts in our homes?
Yes, we do,
Pastor. Do we have conflict at our jobs?
Yes.
Do we have conflict in the supermarket?
Yes, sir.
Do we have conflicts at the mall? Yes.
Do
you have conflicts driving? Yes, there's always somebody in front of you going slow. Amen. I mean, that's a conflict. You're trying to get someplace and they're not moving. Amen. We're going to have conflicts in the church as well. By the way, are you going to have a conflict with your own self?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes. Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Somebody else, give me a definition of conflict. Yes, Faith. Feeding coals to the fire. Amen. Egging it on, so to speak. Amen. That is true. Yes, Jerry. A battle, amen. That is true. Anybody else? I've got several different definitions here. that I'm going to read to you. I copied these right out of the dictionary. This one is from Merriam-Webster. And they say conflict is a struggle for power. A struggle for power. Now tell me if that doesn't fit in there to those verses 29 and 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's struggle for power. It also says a strong disagreement between people. Somebody said disagreement. I think it was Tony. That results often in angry arguments. It also says it's a difference that prevents agreements. Duh. A difference that prevents agreements. You just don't agree. It also defines it as a fight, battle, or war. Now, the American Heritage Dictionary states a conflict as such. A prolonged battle, a struggle, a clash, a controversy, disagreement, or opposition. It also goes on to say conflict can be to come into opposition with someone or to collide or to differ with someone or to fight or struggle or battle against someone. Some of the synonyms that American Heritage Dictionary gives are contest, combat, affray, melee, scuffle. Those all denote struggle between opposing forces. Now, let's go back in time. The 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary has some definitions of conflict. Noah Webster says it's a striking or a dashing against each other. It also says as of two moving bodies in opposition. It's a violent collision of substances. It also says in Noah Webster, a fighting combat as between men. Individuals or armies. It says it's contention or strife or contest. It also says in Noah Webster's, a struggling with difficulties or a striving to oppose or overcome. This is one thing I like about Noah Webster. He normally uses scripture. He says it's a struggling of the mind or anxiety of the mind or distress of the mind. And he quotes Colossians 2:1. Let's go over there. By the way, in the Pauline epistles, the word conflict is only used twice, once here in Colossians 2:1, and then we'll look at the other one here in just a minute. Colossians 2 and verse 1. Of course, Paul is writing from prison here to the Christians at Philippi. And I'm sorry, I'm in Philippians already. Colossians. So, of course, you guess where the other one's at. Colossians chapter 2. And notice what he says here. He says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as not seen my face in the flesh. So when he's speaking of conflict here, he's speaking as the struggle, the distress, the anxiety. He wants to be there. It's a struggle for him. And when you look it up in the Bible definition or the concordance, this word conflict here means it's a contest held in the assembly or it's an effort or an anxiety that a person has. And many times we can have that. If a child is late from getting home, you have this conflict within yourself. It's an anxiety. Is everything okay? I was on my physical therapy the other day and I heard the ambulance sirens out there. I said, man, something must be going on. And so I limp on home and I see somebody waving in blue and I thought it was my wife. And so I waved back. And as I got close, it was the paramedics that had come to take my wife to the hospital. And I thought, whoa, talk about anxiety. Now, as long as I heard the ambulance out there on the walk, it was not a problem. But as soon as I figured they were at my house, now there's a problem. There's a big problem. Anxiety set in, knowing she had just come off two surgeries. I'm thinking, what has happened now that the paramedics have had to come to the house? And now they have taken my wife away. And anxiety set in. I got a little nervous. And so Paul said, hey, look, I got some conflict here. I would that you knew what great conflict, anxiety I have, distress I have for you. And so we see that Noah Webster says that about it. And he has some other definitions as well, but I'm not going to go into those. But Merriam-Webster, American Heritage, and Noah all pretty much state the same basic thing. Let's notice the other one here in the Bible, Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 30. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 30. And Paul, of course, here is writing from a prison here, and he says down here, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. Of course, he's talking about letting their conversation be as it becometh Christ and not being terrified by the adversaries there in verse 28. But then in verse 29, he says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So he's talking about suffering. He says, having the same conflict or the anxiety which you see in me. He says, look, I'm suffering too. I understand this anxiety. I understand how this can be. This is tough, but he says it can happen. And so you find the word conflict listed twice, and here dealing with a mental type of an anguish. In the church, oftentimes, it's not that way, though. In the church, often, it has another connotation. And by the way, are we going to have this conflict until Jesus comes? Yes. I had a pamphlet that came to me several years ago. And really, as we started going through this, I said, you know, I wanted to share some things in here with you guys about conflict, because it's going to happen. Take one of those and pass those back. So you're dealing with conflict here. Struggling of the mind, distress or anxiety in Philippians 1:30 and Colossians 2:1. Will we have conflict with each other? Yes. Until Jesus comes, we are going to have conflict. But aren't you glad that Jesus gives us the way to get through conflict? Aren't you glad that he gives us the remedy where if there is... Now, by the way, is there going to be conflict?
Yes.
But Jesus gives us the way to get through conflict. Amen. Now, don't read the whole thing here. We're going to talk about some things here. There's no way we're going to get through all this tonight. We are going to talk about some things here. Open it up to the first page all the way up so you've got it wide open. And before we actually read the description there on the top, I want you to notice the five categories listed. Look in the middle section. It says conflicts, you and who? Another. Look on the far right at the top. What does it say? Conflicts, you and who? You and your mate. Look on the back side of that. Conflicts, you and who? You and your children. And then look on the very back at the top. And who does it say? You and who? Your church. And three quarters of the way down, conflicts, you and who? God. So we've got you and another, you and your mate, you and your children, you and your church, you and God. Notice anything unusual about the conflict and its order? You. Jerry got it right off the bat. There's something unique about the conflict. Each one involves you. You. Amen. So it's unusual that it goes that way. Amen. It all starts with you and then another, even down to God. Amen. And by the way, it should be resolved. If they're not resolved, bad things are going to happen. Notice anything else about these conflicts and the way that they're listed. It all involves you, yes, but anything else? Josh? Yeah, you and another person, that's true. Goes another person to your mate, and then who? And then your children. Notice that order. Now, it doesn't always happen this way, but oftentimes it does go this way. From you and somebody else to you and your mate. Things can affect you with someone else and go right to your mate. Why is that true oftentimes, Jerry? You're going to either take it out on someone close or take it to someone else. Diana? Amen. Exactly. And that's the point. Oftentimes, the first thing we do is tell someone to take our side, whether it's a spouse, a mate, or a friend. By the way, we just read Esther not long ago. Remember when Haman got upset at Mordecai? Who's the first one he went and told? He went and told his wife and friends, and they conspired together. Yeah, we don't like Mordecai either. When Ahab got mad at Naboth, who did he go tell? Jezebel. Why do we have to go tell somebody else? You want somebody to have your back or to be on your side, Diana? I'm not going this alone. Don't you feel the same way about this that I do? Amen. And far be it if they say no. You know what you often do? Write them off. You're not my friend. I'm just being honest. That's what we do. You know? Hey. It's like, which king was that that said he never prophesied anything good about me? Which one was that, Brother Neil? You remember? he said, go call this. Is there another prophet here? He said, no, he always says something bad about me. Amen. Who is it? Was it Ahab? And he called the man of God in there, and he told him these smooth sayings. He said, have not told you to speak nothing but the truth? He said, you're going to die. He said, see, I told you. Never says anything good about me. He said, well, that was Ahab. Amen. We want to find somebody else that is going to feel the same way we would feel. So normally it goes to you and another, then you and your mate. And if it's not settled, and by the way, when you take it to your mate, if the mate is spiritual, the mate will not take your side and the mate will not take their side. Whose side is the mate going to take if they're spiritual? God's side. Because God's side is what matters. You say, but I'm right. God is right. God is always right. And so if we're spiritual, we'll take God's side and say, let's see what God has to say about that. Amen. Yes, Diana. That's right. He never says anything good about me. I'm going to somebody that's going to tell me what I want to hear. Amen. That's the way it goes. So it goes this way. Now, it doesn't always flow this way, but oftentimes it does. From you to another, to you and your mate. And, you know, if it's not settled there, who's it going to affect? Your children. And now how's it going to affect the children? Jerry? They're going to get upset too. And then they're going to look at this situation or this problem. They're going to view your way if they like you. Amen. Now, not all the time. Not all the time. But oftentimes they're going to look and they're going to view it. And by the way, even if they don't agree with you about the situation, what will they often do? I'm kind of suspect now. They told me about you, Terrell. Now, I don't agree with them, but I'm watching you. I've got my eye on you. Yeah, you can slam dunk. No, I guess it's true. Amen. Hey, yes, Heidi. You know, I had an issue like that. We went back home, and one of the family members was very vehement and really just, and Pastor White, you know my mom, just told my mother off. Whoa. And my sisters were like, look, that is my mama, and you now. And I'm thinking, okay. And, well, Greg, how you see it? Oh, no, you got to bring me in this. I said, well, you know, we've got to look at it this way. And I began to try to look at it God's way. Huh? Yes, Andrew. Amen. 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 And there's a lot of biblical wisdom to that as well. And we'll talk at some of that in just a minute. But that is very true. But oftentimes folks want to get you on their side. Well, Greg, she's your mother too. I say, yes, she is my mother. But there is that side and there's y'all's side and there's God's side. And we've got to look at it from God's perspective. Yes, ma'am. Amen. That's right. Amen, amen. And oftentimes children want to defend their parents. Any child wants to defend, that's my mother, that's my dad. You can't talk about them like that. Yes. Oftentimes that is the case. Oftentimes. My wife and I did the youth ministry in Belgium for 9 years, and the children that were divorced there, I would say probably 90% felt that they were at fault, that their parents were divorced.
Wow.
90% of them felt I had something, if I had only done X, Y, or Z differently, or if I had only been this, that, or the other, they would have still been together. And often it's got nothing to do with them. It's got nothing to do with them. And so when you're dealing with this conflict, the children can be affected if it's not resolved at you and another, if it's not resolved that you and your mate, is not resolved that you and your children, then obviously it's going to flow into the church. Say, preacher, how could it affect the church if it's just between me and this other person and we couldn't resolve it? Now I took it to my mate and it's still not resolved. Now my children are affected by this. Now how can it affect my church? How can it affect my church? Joshua? Wise beyond his years, Pastor White. Exactly. I'm going to find somebody that agrees with me. Now, it may not be my husband or wife. They don't know what's going on here. Now, my children, you know, they're all upset at the person now, and I don't want them to be upset. But now I got to find Sister Egg White over here, or Brother Joe Blow, or, you know, Sally Sue over here. I got to find somebody. And so now it affects the church, yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. And for, go ahead. And then, right. And now Brother Fred has got the evil eye on whoever the culprit was, even though that may not be the true culprit. And so now Brother Fred is, so then, getting Miss Diana Smith mad, huh? John told me about you. I heard it from Bob, who heard it from Sally, who heard it from Jim, who heard it from James, that you're the one. And they can. We can have this skepticism at each other and this slanted view of others if it's not handled properly in the right way. And it goes on from your, you going to say something?
I was just going to say that I have a lot of friends and people who just question the church. And someone else
misery loves company. Amen. And that's a true statement. It really is. It really is. And if you look at this, if it's not resolved, notice what's at the bottom of the list there on that last back page. Conflicts, you and who?
Wow.
You and God. Ultimately, I'm going to push away from the very one who loves me. And the very one who saves me, and the very one who can make sense out of all this, and the very one who wants to help me through this. And so there is a cycle. That doesn't always go in that pattern, but I just wanted to point that out, that that is the way this particular pamphlet is laid out. And, you know, we have to be very, very careful at conflicts. You know, go back to Acts chapter 20, because if you have a situation like this, Acts chapter 20, and we're not so much worried about verse 29, Acts 20. I know this after my departing, so grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. We know that that can happen, but we're not so much worried about that because normally we're kind of like in defense mode against each other. Hey, don't you touch my brother. Don't you touch my, we want to defend each other. But now when verse 30 comes up, also of your own selves. Now we got a problem. Of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things. That's crooked things that are that doctrinally not straight. To draw away disciples after them. Paul said, I know this is going to happen where some people are going to come in and doctrinally try to take you away. And when something like that happens, we have to be careful that we understand the difference between doctrinal teaching and preferences. That's a big, big. By the way, the walls in here are white. Whose decision was that? Mine.
Pastor's.
Guess what? That's a preference.
Yes, sir.
Brother Gary may say, I wanted the walls blue. Paula might have said, I wanted them purple. Jerry might have said, I wanted them green for Green Bay. I definitely would have been opposed to that. Amen. You know, but ultimately, if I make a decision and say I want to be white, should there be a conflict over that?
No,
it's a non-scriptural issue. Can there be a conflict over that? Yes. A struggle for power. I want green. Sister Jerry goes home. Pastor won't let us have a green wall in the church. Can you believe that? He won't. I'm sending him no more cheese. That's it. And there you go. Now, I'm just using that as an example, but I'm serious. Churches have split over crazier stuff than that. And so let's look at that first area there in the beginning, because it says how the scripture resolve Christian and church conflicts. And it says there in the first page, how the scripture resolve Christian and church conflicts. Notice what it says. It seems that conflicts continue to be a consistent problem that began in the early church. Notice that a conflict is not a war, but it can become one. The dictionary, by the way, military folks, did we have a lot of military things that were called a conflict? It really wasn't a war, but it was called a conflict, which means there was a differing of opinions about something. And so it really wasn't an all-and-out war, but it was called a conflict. And he used to tickle me. I'm thinking, is this a war or not? No, it's just a conflict. But we're fighting with real bullets. And so this is not a war? No, it's just conflict. People are dying. This is not a war? No, it's just conflict. So when does it upscale to become a war? We use more bullets? Amen. You know, so he said it's not. But he says the dictionary states that a conflict is a clashing of views. So green walls as opposed to white walls. That's a clashing of views. It says down there, clashing of views, opinions, or preferences, and statements. It means to meet in opposition, to be antagonistic. So I am against you. Now, I love this quote here. Warren Wiersbe said, in all my years, I have never seen a church split over doctrines. But I have seen many split because of personal issues. It has been stated that 80% of the people who leave the church do so because of personality issues. Conflicts. 80% is 8 out of 10. Brother Neil, I'm pretty sure the numbers are probably a little higher than that. Amen. But for argument's sake, 80%. That's very high, especially when it's not doctrinal issues. Now, by the way, is every church for everybody? No. Every church that's fundamentally sound is not for every fundamentally sound Christian. So let's get that one down, okay? Some people just will learn better from a different style of teacher. Amen. Not every preacher has the same style. I haven't met one preacher that's got all the teaching styles. Brother Neil, maybe you've met some. But I haven't met one yet that has all the preaching style. There are different preaching styles that go right along with how people learn. I'm not going to go through those right now. But some have them. Some use a lot of visuals and graphics. Some use a lot of outlines. Some are very pragmatic in their layout. Some are just kind of tell a story and they wing it. And they're different. And people learn from different ways. Some people tell a lot of stories and tied up. Brother Gibbs is one of the greatest storytellers that I have ever heard. And he does a phenomenal job of taking a point, taking a scripture, giving you a story, and bringing that thing home. And you just say, wow, I cannot believe that. How did he do that? He's great at that. Amen. I am not one of those. Amen. And so personality conflicts, 8 out of 10, they say they just clash and cannot get along with some people. Then he goes on to say, none of y'all are like that. I know, I understand it. None of y'all are like that. You just, you know, can't get along with people. By the way, there are some people that just have to have something going on. It's just their personality. If you say it's black, to them it's white. If you say it is hot, to them it's cold. They've got to be on the opposite side. If the glass is half full to you, it's half empty to them. They just are on the opposite side of whatever you say. It just rubs in the wrong way. I went to church with a guy like that. I said, brother, why are you so contrary? I'm not contrary. I said, see, there you go. I said, there you go. I said, whatever I say, you got the opposite. You're always opposite of what I bring up. Why is that? He said, I don't know. I'm just like that. Man, I said, I had to phrase my questions when I come to you because I know you're going to always say the opposite of what I say. My wife knows who that is, but that's another story. Amen. He got joy out of it, like seeing the response. Amen. Know that it says down there, they just clash and cannot get along with some people. Please know that this study is only about minor conflicts, which should be quickly resolved to prevent major problems. Notice that, minor conflicts, which should be quickly resolved to prevent major problems. Amen. By the way, if you catch the fire when it's small, what will it not turn out to be? A forest fire or blaze, a four-alarm blaze. If you catch it when it's small, you got a better chance. Amen. Notice what he said. I like this next sentence. Underline this sentence. First, accept the fact that there will always be some conflicts. Underline that. Always going to be. I don't care if it's in nursery. I don't care if it's in the choir. I don't care if it's in the teaching. I don't care if it's with the ushers. There's always going to be some conflict. And always in your home, there's always going to be some conflict because nobody sees things exactly the way you do. And you should praise God that they don't. Hey, there's certain things that if I had my way, my wife would say, we need some femininity here. I'm thinking, what? Why? Because I have two ladies in the house. Amen. I have my way. She's got her way. We've got to compromise. Amen. My way is not good all the time. Now, most of the time it is. No, I'm just joking. Amen. But there's going to be some conflict if I don't give in to her and she doesn't give in to me. And then we've got three children to consider. And they've got their way. And sometimes I don't like their way. And guess what I've got to do? I've got to suck it up sometimes and say, okay, I won't say anything about that conflict. Although it's killing me. I've got to live with this. Sometimes I say it's not worth the conflict today. It's just not worth it. So underline that. Accept the fact that there will always be some conflict. Now, does that mean to say that we can't get along? No, that doesn't mean that. Notice what it says. When conflicts do arise, they need to be quickly resolved and fellowship restored. Praise God. Simple as that. One of the greatest testimonies to the world is a changed and consistent Christian. The world needs to see consistent Christians who do not change during conflicts or circumstances. Now, we're going to stop here, but I want to read some of these helpful thoughts at the bottom here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this either Wednesday or next Sunday night. Notice the helpful thoughts here. The Word of God is always the authority. By the way, I'll add, it is the final authority. It's the final authority. I don't care what it is. Go to 1 Timothy 3:15 with me. 1 Timothy 3:15. So when you're dealing with a conflict, the Bible should always be your final authority, especially in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3 and 14 and 15, he says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. So he says, you know what? If I don't get to you and you need to know how to behave in the house of God, he said, the church is the pillar, it's the ground of truth. Amen. And notice verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Just find the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. So we've got to understand that in the church, we don't want to have conflict, but if it happens, this is still the place of truth. We've got to have the Word of God. And then go over to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, this is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we want to stand on the truth of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for what? For doctrine or teaching, for reproof, that's telling us of a fault, for correction, that's how to get right, for what? Instruction in righteousness, that's how to live our lives right. And so the Word of God is always the authority. Notice number two on your list there, conflicts are resolved when someone submits. So that means somebody's got to give in. If neither party wants to submit, guess what you will have? Conflict. If both parties say they're right, conflict is going to happen. Somebody's got to humble themselves underneath. The one who submits displays character. Character. When you make choices, by the way, even if you're right, do you still have to stand up for your right? No, you don't have to. No, you don't have to. God's my vindicator. God's my judge. Last time I tried to do it, last time I checked, I'll make a mess of it. Because I have fleshly motives. So if I'm right, in the end, God's going to be my vindicator. You see it time and time again in the Bible. You say, well, the wicked sometimes prosper. Not in God's book, they don't. I don't always have to vindicate myself and say, see, I'm right. At the cause of disunity in the church? I don't think so. When you make choices, be willing to also accept the consequences of your choices. So if you're going to take that position, be willing to take the consequences of what goes along with that stand that you take. Notice what else it says. In non-scriptural conflicts that cannot be resolved, you must submit to authority. Why is that important? For the sake of unity in the house of God. There is one pastor.
Yes, sir.
There is one pastor. And when it's a non-scriptural issue, you submit to authority. The minute you said, I joined Shining Light Baptist Church, you submitted to the authority of the pastor. And people have to get, they got to get that through their heads. Well, I'm just as right as you. You may be, but you're not the pastor. And this is non-scriptural. And this is a non-scriptural conflict. Amen. Amen. Notice in the next one, in scriptural conflicts, both must submit to the authority of the Word of God. God is always true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So if there's a problem here and there's a problem there, God is true and both must submit to the Word of God. That's why a lot of times folks don't want to come to the preacher. Because they know the preacher's going to bring out the book and say, let's see what the book says. No, let's go talk to Sister Egg White instead. Sister Egg White's not bringing out the book. Notice it says, Christians can discuss, debate, and disagree, but not divide over non-scriptural issues. Brother Duffy said, I'm not coming back to church anymore because Pastor won't put the wall green. And Miss Duffy says, and furthermore, he won't put a G on it. Now, if it stood for Greg, I might do it. Amen. And, amen. Now underline this one. I like this one. Underline this one. God has the right to use people who disagree with you. We think just because they disagree with us, God's got no use for them at all. It's not about you. You and another, it's not about you. God can use someone who doesn't agree with you. Would it shock you if I told you not everybody agreed with the white walls here?
Amen.
Would it shock you that I told you my wife was one of those people? Honey, we can't have white walls in the whole church. Oh, yes, we can. And yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Amen.
Well, I don't agree with that. That's fine. You can disagree. I still love you. So we can disagree. But God has the right to use people who disagree with you. So does that mean God can't use her because she wants a blue wall? Now, I made an exception. You go in the nursery. I said, ladies, y'all have y'all way.
Amen.
Only one wall is blue. So I didn't say that. I said, have your way in the bathroom. I said, y'all can have your way in the bathroom. You have your way in the nursery. Us men folk don't go in y'all bathroom anyway.
Amen.
I definitely don't go in unless there's a problem. I don't go to the nursery since my kids are out of there anymore. Unless I go to clean something up or do something like that. Amen. I say, y'all can do what you want to do in there. Those walls don't have to be white. But God has the right to use people who disagree with you. And this next one, it's never right to be rude. Never. Never. We can disagree in the spirit without getting ugly. They used to say back in the days, God hates ugly. And, you know, why get rude?
Well, let me tell you a thing or two. Your breath stinks.
Why you got to be all like that?
Man, you got a bad hair day.
Why are you going to bring my hair into this? We're not even talking about hair.
Because you don't agree with me, that's why.
It's never right to be rude. Attack the problem, not the person. And then the last one, Christians should always be reasonable. And so those are some parameters that they set out here. And I read this years ago, and I kind of had it tucked away. And when I came up to this area in Acts chapter 20 about the conflict that they had there, and I said, you know, this would be something good to just kind of go over and just see some things here and get some input as well. And because we're going to have conflict because none of us are the same. And I don't want us to be the same. Now, we should be the same mind in Christ, but personality-wise, we've got to be different because it's the differences that make this church go. Yes. And we can agree to disagree sometimes on things that are non-scriptual. Now, we're going to go down through here, and I'm not going to look at everything over the next couple of weeks here, but we will look at some of the things that are in here because I think it's important. I'll elaborate on a couple of things here. But the one thing I just wanted to get to your attention is that we are going to have conflicts. And we may have a situation like in Acts 20 where some folks try to teach another doctrine and pull others away. And what are we going to do? We can be equipped to scripturally resolve a difference or an issue. Now, if it's doctrinal, you let me handle that. That's my job. But if it's preference, we got to learn to get along. We got to learn to love each other despite our differences and our conflicts. Why? God loves each one of us despite our differences and despite who we are and despite what we do and where we go. Aren't you glad about that? That God loves you despite who you are. Amen. By the way, it takes all of us to make this church go. There's no big I's and little U's. And so we're going to have to get past the conflicts that come with the love of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, and making sure we understand just because somebody disagrees with us doesn't make them wrong and me right, and vice versa. I just happen to like white walls because white goes with everything. That makes the room look bigger. I like polyurethane paint because it's easy to clean. We should get flat. Flat is hard to clean, and we got a church. No, that's right. Amen. I'm like, look, who's going to be cleaning these walls when everybody gone home? Me. I ain't know. Give me some easy to clean off. Amen. Oh, Faith volunteers to clean up too. No, thank you, baby. I appreciate that. Y'all was voluntold. Amen. So I want you to read over this. Amen. We'll talk a little bit more about this on Wednesday, and hopefully Wednesday we'll finish it. If not Wednesday, next Sunday we'll finish it. And just kind of look at these areas here and briefly discuss some things that are in there. But do not get discouraged when you come up to a conflict. Don't get discouraged. It's going to happen. It's a part of nature. By the way, sometimes God uses that to keep you humble. Sometimes he uses that to keep you sharp. Sometimes he uses that to get you to the next step that he wants you to take.
Yes, sir.
It's not oftentimes saying, well, I don't like them because they don't like my color. No. If that were the case, I like Chicago. Nobody would be for me except my kids. Amen. And then Joshua was sometimes fair weather. He jumped off the bandwagon, jumping on Philadelphia because they champions. Amen. I ain't on Pastor Bennett's team. Amen. Anybody that's winning, Joshua will say, that's my team. That's my team. I said, come on, Joshua, where's your loyalty? You're supposed to bleed blue and orange. Amen. It ain't going to happen. I'm bleeding green and white right now. Amen. But bless his heart. He has fun with us, though. Amen. And I appreciate him. So as the week goes by, think about conflict maybe you have at your job. Maybe conflicts you might have with a friend. Conflict you may have in your home. Conflict you may have in the church. Wherever you got a conflict, just think about what God wants you to do. And he wants you to be who he has called you to be in Christ Jesus. You don't have to agree with everybody. You don't. But you have to agree with God that he is right. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Father, thank you for your wisdom that you've given us and your word. God, help us as we deal with conflicts. Well, we know it's not going to always be easy. But we do know that you have the church in your hand. Lord, as we saw in the book of Revelation, they had people teaching erroneous doctrines. And also here in Acts, Paul warned them about the same thing. Lord, oftentimes in our churches, it's not about doctrine. It's just about preference. And when we do have a conflict of preference, Lord, help us to know how to deal with it. Each time, it's us and someone or something else. And help us to know how to resolve Christian issues Christian-like based upon the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to recognize and realize that sometimes our position that we have taken really doesn't matter. What matters is the love of God and the unity that we have, and we have to agree sometimes to disagree on preferences. Thank you again for this day. Lord, help us to resolve conflicts Christ-like and biblically, and Lord, help us to be a unified fellowship even before disaster strikes, when someone tries to come in from without, like in Acts was talked about, maybe someone tries to rise from within, teaching another doctrine, we may handle ourselves according to the Spirit and the Word of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. Take us through this week till we come back again. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Pastor White's got our closing announcements. Pastor White, if you would. Biggest one is don't forget.